Good morning and welcome to St. Luke's. Thank you for gathering with us today to make Eucharist.
As you are able, please stand and join us in singing hymn number 408, as found in your bulletin or the blue hymnal.
Blessed be the one holy and living God.
Glory to God forever.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord.
Thank you.
God be with you. Let us pray. O God, the strength of all who put their trust in you, mercifully accept our prayers, and because in our weakness we can do nothing good without you, give us the help of your grace, that in keeping your commandments we may please you both in will and deed. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from the prophet Jeremiah. Thus says the Lord, cursed are those who trust in mere mortals and make mere flesh their strength, whose hearts turn away from the Lord. They shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when relief comes. They shall live in the parched places of the wilderness, in an uninhabited salt land. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. They shall be like a tree planted by water, sending out its roots by the stream. It shall not fear when heat comes, and its leaves shall stay green. In the year of drought, it is not anxious, and it does not cease to bear fruit. The heart is devious above all else. It is perverse. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, test the mind and search the heart to give to all according to their ways, according to the fruit of their doings. The word of the Lord. A reading from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our proclamation has been in vain, and your faith has been in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified of God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have died in Christ have perished. If for this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have died. The word of the Lord.
Let us attend to the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Jesus came down with the 12 apostles and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and the coast of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases, and those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all in the crowds were trying to touch him, for power came out from him and healed all of them. Then he looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. For that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets. The Gospel of the Lord.
I want us to talk a little bit today about prophecy. And in order to talk about prophecy, I want you to imagine a different world with me. Because so many people today get prophecy wrong. They don't understand prophecy or prophets. So to help you get in the right mindset, imagine for me a world where there are great fields and wild animals that hunt in the fields. And beside the fields, there are large trees and people who live under the trees, because when the wild animals come, they can scurry up the tree to safety. And so the people who live under the trees love the trees and care for the trees and make sure there's lots of good, dark, rich soil around the base of the tree, and they clean up clutter and messes around the bottoms of the trees and care for the trees. Over time, though, they learn to use tools. And when they learn to use tools, they learn to make bows and arrows, and they learn to hunt. They learn to defend themselves from the animals that once hunted them. And they learn to make tools for farming and to plant in the field and to turn part of the field into a garden to grow vegetables and to feed themselves. And over time, they start to pay more attention to the field and their vegetable gardens than they do to the trees. And they don't attend to the trees, and they don't keep nice, dark, rich soil around them, and they don't clean up around the trees, and they take some of that rich soil because it makes good bricks, and they can make huts out next to the garden to gather in the harvest. And along comes a prophet who notices things that others don't notice. Maybe some discoloration in the leaves at the top of the tree. Maybe some other sign of weakness in the trees. And this prophet watches the people and the dynamic of the people and then comes into town and preaches, "You have forgotten to love and respect the trees, and they will leave you." And everyone looks at the prophet like he's lost his mind. What do you mean they'll leave? "You've forgotten to love and care for the trees, and they will leave you. You have traded your love and care for the big plants for your love and care for the little plants, the vegetables. And the trees will leave you if you're not careful." So at some point, somebody writes down what's going on in the village, and they write down what the prophet has said, this prophet of the trees. And years later, commentators look at it, and they say, "Ah, prophets, they're predicting the future." No. The prophet's describing a dynamic that no one else is seeing. That they're not caring for the trees. And the trees may die if they don't care for the trees. It's not predicting the future at all. And some other commentator will read the words of the prophet and say, see, the prophet said they've forgotten the big trees and they're focusing on the plants because they've learned to harvest and cultivate. And clearly, prophets prefer the old ways and hate the new ways. No. Prophets come along and say things about the dynamic that they see in the hopes that someone will ask them. It's an educational technique. Careful, you've ignored the trees, you don't love the trees, they may go away. And if you say, what do you mean they may go away? And what can we do about that? You've opened up in your own mind by asking those questions the possibility of changing the dynamic. So prophets come along and they say these things. And then the other thing is that prophets, usually most prophets lived before the age of the scientific revolution. The scientific revolution taught us when we want to articulate something that's really important, we articulate it in terms of cause and effect. It's really important that you understand that wind blowing under the bridge as well as on top of it will make the bridge freeze before the rest of the road. People before the scientific revolution understood that the way you say something is important is you tell it in a story. You tell it in a story. So when they tell the story of the wind in its love of the bridge making the ice happen, they're trying to say, this is important, pay attention. It's important that you understand that you're ignoring the trees, says the prophet of the trees. So they tell it in a story. So in all these ways, we get prophecy wrong. We forget that what the prophet is trying to describe is a spiritual dynamic, and we get distracted by people who want to say that prophets are predicting the future, like shows that you can find on TV right now, Bible Prophecy Today, how the Bible predicts World War III. I don't think so. Right? We lose track. We get distracted by thinking, oh, prophets, they just really hated it when things changed and people learned new things. No, I don't think so. When we read the prophet Jeremiah, there's lots of people out there who've made jokes about Jeremiah really needed Prozac. Because at first glance, he looks really depressive and unhappy. But if we think about the real nature of prophecy, here's what's going on. Babylon is in the ascendancy. Babylon is moving right and left and taking over countries here, there, and everywhere. And they're headed towards Jerusalem. And Jerusalem's leadership is freaking out. And they're frantically trying to make allegiances with other nation states in the hopes of defending themselves from the Babylonians. Now, here's the problem. When you go into negotiations feeling all freaked out and needy, how good a negotiator are you? Right? So Jeremiah says, the spiritual dynamic at work here is that you've forgotten to trust God. And if you trusted God, you'd do better. Because you wouldn't be freaked out. You wouldn't be all needy when you went to negotiate. If you trusted God. Things would go better if you trusted God. The spiritual dynamic would support the work you're trying to do. Because right now, the spiritual dynamic of being freaked out is not supporting the work you're trying to do. But we miss that when we're distracted by our misunderstandings of prophecy. Now, it is also the case that from time to time, when things get really bad, prophets don't wait for you to ask them about what they just said. Sometimes prophets get impatient. And then they do things like the Jeremiah reading today. They say, you can do this or you can do that. Like Psalm 1, the righteous, this is the experience. The unrighteous, this is the experience. You got a choice. Prophets do that when they're in a hurry. When they don't think they can't give you the time to come around and ask them why they're saying what they're saying. And so Jeremiah does that. He says, look, you can be freaked out and not trust God, and things are not going to go well because the spiritual dynamic that you're living isn't supporting the work you're trying to do, which is save the nation. But if you trusted God, your spiritual dynamic would support the work of trying to save the nation. And things would be different. Maybe not exactly what you expect, but things would be different. Because prophets do that. When they really think you're not listening, they give you choices. You can do this, you can do that. Then Jeremiah does a really interesting thing. I find this the most interesting part of this little text that we've heard. Then at the end he says, and you think, you know, so far we're like, okay, I'm getting on board here with Jeremiah. It's not that he's depressive, it's that he's urgent. And this is, he's noticing this dynamic. And I know that dynamic because, right, I make poor choices when I'm freaked out and not trusting God. I get that. Then he goes, the heart is completely devious. And you're like, Jeremiah, you had me with you. Then you had to say that. The heart is completely devious. Except, what he says is, you know what? We don't even understand ourselves. That's true. We all know that feeling. And we're a mix of emotions and reactions and everything else. And you know what? Even when we don't understand ourselves, God doesn't look away. God still looks at us and loves us. And God understands us when we ourselves don't. Well, that's helpful. That's really helpful. That's reassuring. It helps me trust God a little more to remember that. So in the end, what Jeremiah is saying, though at first glance it looks pretty negative, is actually profoundly helpful. He's reminding us that there's a spiritual dynamic that can fight with or support our life and the things we're trying to do. And when we let go of other misinterpretations of prophecy and understand it as prophets were the first people in the community to see the community's spiritual dynamic, then there's a lot more that we can get out of prophecy. And when we do that, then we look at those Beatitudes and we realize Jesus is being prophetic. Jesus is really doing an interesting work with those Beatitudes. The people that Jesus most often spoke to and healed and exorcised and helped were people that Rome said were useless. You're at the bottom of the ladder. You're no good. You've never been any good. You never will be any good. Get out of my way. And Jesus says to those people, you understand that you are blessed at the very moment when the Empire of Rome is telling you you're worthless. You understand that you are blessed when the Empire of Rome is telling you you're worthless. Choose the spiritual dynamic that lifts you in God's empire and learn that that's a different voice from the hurtful spiritual dynamic of Rome's empire. It's classic prophecy. That's exactly what he's doing. And in fact, in Luke, woe to you who are rich now, right? And we read that and we think, I'm not sure about that, right? But in Luke, people who are happy and successful and rich and the like, Luke doesn't see them as a problem in and of themselves, but he wants them to remember to then go help other people. So the woes in the text are, don't just sit there in your own success. Do something with it. And we see that throughout Luke. Throughout the whole gospel, there are occasions when people who are successful, wealthy, happy, whatever, come along and do something important to move the story along. So the woes are an encouragement to those who have to help others out. And Jesus is saying, this is the spiritual dynamic. Blessedness is the spiritual dynamic of the empire of God. That's what Jesus, the prophet, teaches us in this sermon. So the invitation today is to let go of all those popular misunderstandings of prophecy. Learn from the prophets that there are spiritual dynamics. And we live into spiritual dynamics that help us and spiritual dynamics that hinder us. And the ones that help us are ones that remind us that we're blessed and can bless others. Now that's a prophecy.
As you are able, please stand and join me in proclaiming our faith, which covers the earth and spans the ages, by reciting the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. He was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. And on the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified,
who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray to God, who is made manifest in Jesus Christ.
As the prophet Isaiah rang out, "Arise, shine, for your light has come," empower your church, O God, to ring out the good news of the light of all light, Jesus Christ.
Fountain of life,
hear our prayer.
As a star rose high into the nighttime sky to draw the nations to Christ, send your blessing, O God, on this nation and every nation, and draw the whole world to your peace and truth.
We pray for all who work for justice and peace. We pray for all who serve in our armed forces, especially Courtney, Joe, Kristen, Nathan, Sarah, Andrew, and Stephen.
Bestower of peace,
hear our prayer.
As John the Baptist guided throngs of people to the edge of the wilderness and baptized Jesus in the River Jordan, we pray that you would guide our country and our leaders to the ways of justice and righteousness.
We pray for Donald, our president, and for the legislative and judicial branches of our government.
Giver of blessing and grace.
Like the Magi, who traveled from afar to bring gifts and celebrate the Savior's birth, we pray for this community and for those who are celebrating life's passages and patterns.
We pray for those celebrating birthdays this week, especially Alex, Avery, Tina, Catherine, Jody, Elijah, and Morgan. We pray for those celebrating baptismal anniversaries, especially Christy. We pray for those celebrating wedding anniversaries this week, Pam and Helmut.
Bounteous God of joy,
hear our prayer.
As Jesus climbed the mountaintop and proclaimed blessings on the people of the world, we pray for those who are sick, suffering, or addicted, and those who have died.
We pray for all who are suffering, especially Linda, Mike, Anne, Nancy, Marilyn, Joel, Bill, Madeline, Jen, Caitlin, Lydia, Sophia, and Joe. We pray for all who have died, especially Mother Beth, Paula, Jean, and Quinn.
Source of health and salvation,
hear our prayer.
Star blaze of glory, lead us to care for this fragile earth, our island home, and to heal the circle of creation. God of radiant light, your love illumines our hopes before we know them and our needs before we ask. Kindle your flame within us, that in our prayers and service, we may know your transforming presence at work in the world all around us. All this we ask through Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God, our neighbors, and ourselves. Most merciful God, we confess
our sins.
Have mercy on us, forgive us, and give us life in the world, and
Almighty God, have mercy on us. Forgive us all our sins through the grace of Jesus Christ. Strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life. The peace of the Lord be always with you. I give you as a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your heart.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, because in the mystery of the Word made flesh, you have caused a new light to shine in our hearts, to give the knowledge of your glory, in the face of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. We give thanks to you, O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation, in the calling of Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all, in the word made flesh, Jesus, your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me."
Therefore, according to his command, O Father,
we remember his death. We proclaim his resurrection. We await his coming in glory. And we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly country, where with the prophet Jeremiah, Mary the God-bearer, Luke, John, and all your saints, we may enter the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters, through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation. By him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to sing.
As we forgive those who trespass against us.
deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Alleluia. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us keep the feast. Alleluia.
The gifts of God for the people of God.
Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. send you forth bearing these holy gifts, that those to whom you go may share with us in the communion of Christ's body and blood. We who are many are one body, because we all share one bread and one cup.
Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Please be seated.
May the Son of God be manifest in you, that your lives may be a light to the world. And the blessing of God Almighty, eternal majesty, incarnate word, and abiding spirit be amongst us and remain with us forever.
Amen. Let us go forth in the name of Christ.
Thanks be to God.